This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Kate, you're looking increasingly worried because your dog is inside at the moment and you have a huge hour road trip back to Coromandel Valley on the way home.
I know. Well, it sounds really cruel that I've left him inside all day, but we have installed a doggy door, but he's never used one before, so he's very confused. Surely, if he needed to go that badly, he could push through the doggy door.
I reckon he's hiding from the spiders out the back of your house, Kate.
Oh my gosh, don't even get me started on these spiders. I was at a dinner with Reese and he asked his dad, "Oh dad, do you know how to get rid of wolf spiders?" And I was like, "What are wolf spiders?" And please don't Google it because they are as scary as their name sounds.
Oh my God, they were actually so cute. They had like the beadiest little eyes. They looked quite charming.
They are not cute at all. They look disgusting. Their eyes like light up and apparently they burrow because I had found some holes in the backyard, which I first thought were snake holes. So I'm glad they're not snake holes, but yeah.
Can snakes dig holes?
Well, I don't know.
How big are these spiders if they're burrowing bloody holes in your yard?
I haven't actually Googled it myself. Like I've banned myself from Googling it, but you know, Brandon showed me a few photos and so did Reese. So I literally haven't been outside since I found this out.
I've Googled and they're about the size of a human hand.
What?
Oh my God.
Yeah, they're huge.
I'd just be checking your bed every night before you go to sleep.
Oh God. Something else for me to worry about.
Well, on a nicer note, so if you've got to tell everybody about your makeshift holiday, because the last we heard, your holiday to Port Douglas was cancelled.
Yeah, so we ended up going to Port Hughes instead, which is on the York Peninsula. It's about 2 hours out of Adelaide. It was really beautiful there, but I think a bit of a kick in the dick was the fact that we found out that the Queensland lockdown ended early, so we could have gone on our holiday.
Oh my God.
I thought it looked like quite a good holiday via Instagram, though. There were lots of shots of you in the water, which I've not seen before. So he's not really a water baby, but apparently you actually liked it.
Well, it has to be really, really hot to get me in the water. And I was more tempted because my dog Archie was being so cute and swimming. And I kind of wanted to be that mum that was in the water with him having fun. But in saying that, we did actually get all of the money back for our trip. So we're hoping to go at another time when it's a little bit safer.
Well, Amy, what have you been up to this week? You haven't been jet-setting around, holding the fort down for Hula Media?
I have been holding the fort down. Soph was only away for 2 days, so that was fine. I did go on a 5-week European holiday in 2019, so...
That was a smart move.
She does have a few days owing. But you know what? Yesterday, I spent a large period of time making a shipping container cake.
Now, that might sound odd to a lot of people, but this is because your boyfriend is obsessed with his shipping container that he has turned into sort of a makeshift room.
And plus, it was his birthday.
Oh, yes, his birthday as well.
Yes. Well, it's quite funny because at the beginning of our relationship, Dale said I won him over because I made such an amazing cake. And if you guys have seen the movie Matilda, it was modeled off that massive cake that the Trunchbull forces that kid to eat. So it was a massive chocolate cake. And each year, I've adapted something a little bit different. So this year, I thought, Dale loves shipping containers. He's been transforming all these shipping containers. So I thought, I'll make a shipping container cake. And it was a little bit harder than I thought it would be.
Look, I feel like it would have been the world's first shipping container cake. I've never seen one before.
Actually, it wasn't. That's why I had a few examples to go off. But mine didn't look anything like this one. It actually looked like a tissue box, but he loved it regardless.
I think you've got to put up a photo in our Facebook community because, to be completely honest, you sent it to me as a Snapchat, and for a moment it took me a while to figure out what the cake was supposed to be.
See, what I don't get is Dale loves camping. Like, could you have made something like camping related?
That would have been easier. Everyone's dissing me with this cake.
I thought it's very thoughtful.
It was thoughtful, but I feel like it's not something that's like attractive that you can bring to life in the yeah. form of a cake.
Now, Amy, I think you've got to put up a photo in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community. And I would love other people to share cakes that they've made that are a little bit left of center.
I'm feeling really slack because I've never made Reese a birthday cake. I've always ordered them from the cheesecake shop. Is that bad?
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think half the time when you try and set out to make a cake, you actually spend more money than you would if you'd actually just bought a nice one.
Does anyone notice, though, men are never making their girlfriends or wives cakes? It's always something that the women do. I don't
even buy them either. It's kind of just a thing that either a girl's parents buy them or they just don't have one.
I've never had a cake bought for me from anyone, apart from my mother, I mean. I got a crush on Steph Glassketh. But she never liked no fool like me.
But I'm more than my crooked teeth. Marketing guru Michelle Battersby's quiet departure as chief marketing officer from fitness app Keep It Cleaner has set tongues wagging. Fans quickly noticed founders of Kick, Steph Claire Smith and Laura Henshaw, didn't acknowledge her departure on the app's official accounts. Before we get into it, for those who might not know, Soph, can you just tell us who Michelle Battersby is?
Well, she's become a public figure in her own right. She has about 32,000 followers on Instagram at the moment. She first started out in HR and was approached by the CEO of Bumble to launch the app in Australia, and she's managed to grow it into the huge success story that it is today.
And as you said, she's really become sort of not an influencer, but influencer status, because she's been on a lot of podcasts recently. She seems to have a lot of famous friends, particularly Steph Claire Smith and Laura Henshaw.
And I suppose it's that relationship that sparked the opportunity for her to work at Keep It Cleaner. She was the chief marketing officer there, and she was very instrumental in their rebrand that happened late last year.
And it was really a big deal for Michelle to join Keep It Cleaner. I mean, she had such an amazing job at Bumble, and it was really a public display that she was moving over to Keep It Cleaner. There were really exciting things happening with that brand, and she was going to really launch it to an even bigger platform and make it even more successful.
Well, she's definitely done that, because an article in the Financial Review showed that Kick has increased its subscribers by 75% wow. this year. Now, that does have a lot to do with COVID, because more people are joining digital fitness apps instead of going to the gym. But I also think it has a lot to do with the rebrand. You know, they had fresh trainers, new features. They were able to sync workouts to Spotify and Apple Music. And I think a lot of those marketing ideas were driven by Michelle.
And for those who aren't aware, Kick isn't just an app. They also have like an arm of the business related to food products that are sold at Coles and Woolworths. So it's really a massive business. And that type of growth is huge.
I think what she's been really good at is bringing more of an inclusivity to the app. And that's something she said she learned a lot about at Bumble. It was having a very positive approach and looking at things through an inclusive lens. And if you look at the new trainers they've got on board, now they have about 5 or 6 different trainers who are all shapes and sizes, different ethnicities. So I think she really has brought that inclusivity into the app.
It's interesting though, because I have been a member of Kick for I think nearly 3 years now, which makes me proud, because I remember before I turned 30, I was like, I really need to start actually getting fit and healthy. And I've really enjoyed using the app, and I was a little bit apprehensive when the new trainers joined because I was so used to doing Dan Kennedy's exercises. But it is really great to have that diversity on there. It's interesting though, because there used to be such a demand on Steph and Laura being the face of that business. And for those who haven't used the app, they used to have like a daily calendar where there was new workouts every day featuring either Steph or Laura and the trainer Dan Kennedy. And when Steph announced she was pregnant, I was like, wow, that's really a clever move to start introducing new faces and not this sort of stress on them to be the whole product.
Well, it's exactly what Kayla Estenis's app Sweat did. They realized that they couldn't just base their whole business around Kayla, because Kayla was getting older and maybe she didn't want to be in front of the camera as much. So they introduced the new trainers. And as you said, that's exactly what they've done, presumably because Steph is going to have a lot more responsibility at home with her newborn baby.
Well, Kayla, of course, had a baby as well. So yeah, it all makes sense.
Well, we should probably get into what actually sparked a bit of attention over this departure. So Michelle, unbeknownst to a lot of us, as a Kick member, I didn't know she left. So she apparently left in October. There has been no public farewell on Kick social channels. It just all seemed to go quiet.
Now, a few people in our Facebook community did say that Laura and Steph kind of made passing comments about Michelle no longer being a part of Kick. But as an avid viewer of both of their stories, I never saw it. It wasn't something that was made ultra public. Normally with farewells, they'll post like an actual picture in their feed, not just an Instagram story that disappears.
And I think what has also created a bit more interest over this story is that a lot of photos of Michelle have apparently been removed from the Instagram page. Now, I went and had a look, and there are 3 photos of her up in the past 12 months. The earliest photo is from March.
well, this is the Keep It Cleaner Instagram account you're talking about. And I touched on the fact that she was really touted as a big win that was coming across, and like they really wanted to push her forward. I mean, usually with a marketing manager, they take a very backseat type of role. You don't know who they are, but this was quite different.
Do you guys think that people are reading into it a bit too much because it does involve women who are involved in social media? And we all know that someone deleting a photo of you on social media is kind of a big F you.
Well, to be honest, when I heard that Michelle had left, I instantly thought there must have been some bust up. And for me, that's probably my own internalized misogyny thinking, oh, with women involved, they must have had a fight, which is actually really terrible to think. And I went straight to their Instagram accounts and I started to check if they'd been liking each other's photos. And I think that's really indicative of the time, because I feel like an unfollow means, wow, they're not friends. And for the record, they are all following each other. I think then there's that subtle thing where if you lose your job or someone moves on, you still keep them as a friend for a while, but there's that thing where you start like not liking these people's photos. So I was checking if that was happening, and Laura and Steph have not liked Michelle's photos like past 5 photos. So I thought that kind of spoke volumes. But then again, I actually think it's really gross that that was my first instinct to do and my first thought.
It does sound really high school, but as we said, because these people are such huge players in the social media world, it actually does mean a lot.
Well, it just reminds me of when I left my previous job, and as soon as I left, the boss unfollowed me, her partner unfollowed me, and it's kind of, it made me think more about this, because from their perspective, when I said I was leaving, they didn't want to advertised for my old job because they thought it reflected poorly on their business that someone wanted to leave after only being there for 12 months. Because I tried. I made sure I stuck it out for 12 months. And so they advertised for a slightly different position and didn't say I was leaving. So maybe this is what they're doing here, because they have advertised for a public relations manager.
I found it really interesting because Steph Claire Smith actually posted the role on her Instagram story, and I was like, oh my God, what an amazing gig that would be. And I didn't even think or know that Michelle had left, because her role was marketing, not PR.
Next week we're announcing that Kate's moving to Melbourne to work for Kicks PR team.
I've got a bit of a random story, but when I actually lived in Melbourne for a year working as a copywriter at an SEO company, and I remember my ex-boyfriend at the time, he was working at the company, and he kept going, oh, there's some models that work downstairs, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, who are they? I find out like a couple of years later that I think it was Laura Henshaw and Steph Claire Smith, because they work in the same area. And I was just like, oh my gosh, if only I'd known. Anyway.
Amy, going back to your original question, I purely just think it's that Michelle has outgrown the role. She has been quite vocal in the fact that she has wanted to work for a business from the very start. So, and that's exactly what it seems like she's doing at the moment.
We've also got to remember 2020 was a very strange year. Obviously with COVID, it made people rethink their lives and their plans. And it makes you think like, I don't want to be in this job like this. I actually want to start creating my own thing. And I think a lot of people have gone through this process of making these big decisions off the back of COVID.
Well, in December, Michelle actually addressed this on her Instagram. She said that the last few months has thrown her a lot of curveballs and uncertainty, as well as challenging situations. And I wasn't sure if that was in reference to Kick or just the situation in Melbourne.
Well, I actually thought she was referring to her partner, Bill, moving to LA. So the pair were already doing long distance between Sydney and Melbourne. And then obviously moving to LA is going to make things even trickier. So I wasn't sure if that's what she was referencing, as well as COVID and potentially work.
Well, she has actually announced this week, Kate, that she's going to be moving to LA. And that comes off the back of her December announcement that she is, in fact, co-founding a new app called Sunroom. And that is with 2 very successful American businesswomen. And what I loved is she's really open about the process on her Instagram. She's spoken about the fact that she has moved back in with her parents in Sydney to make this happen. And what I loved is she was talking about the fact that 4 years ago, she also moved back into her parents' house to help launch Bumble. And I just think it's really realistic for people who want to start their own startup business to see the sacrifices that you do have to make to make it happen.
Yeah, because I feel like normally we see a lot of influencers out there starting their business ventures off the back of their following, and usually they're in beautiful apartments on the beachfront, and you're kind of like, oh, that doesn't really look hard. But it seems like Michelle's actually, you know, taken one for the team kind of thing and moved back in with her parents to start this venture.
Well, what does everyone think the app is? Because I'm really intrigued.
Well, I have a few predictions. Now, this is what she said about the app on her Instagram. She said it's bold, progressive, edgy, and a behavioral changing idea. Now, if you look further into the app's mission statement, it says it's to create joyful and shame-free sources of income for women. Now, my prediction that I'm going to throw out there is that it is going to be a progressive take on OnlyFans. If you look at what she did with Bumble, they have turned Tinder, which just turned into an app where people basically look like they were seeking sex, they have turned Bumble into this huge movement for women who are making the first move, not only in their relationships, but in their career. So I think that they're going to make a really great app together.
Mm. And you notice that women, when they, in the mission statement, the word women has an X where the A is meant to be, indicating X-rated things.
Oh, I was like, is that a typo or something?
Well, I actually did a little bit of digging on one of the other co-founders, who's called Lucy Mort, and she previously worked at Hinge as the design director. So it's quite interesting that someone from Bumble and someone from Hinge are partnering together. And basically, Lucy created a website called sunroom.substack, and it's a website which features about 5 different articles that she's written, and it states that it's a newsletter about sex, relationships, tech, and design. And one of the main articles on the website is about OnlyFans, and that plays into Sophie's view that maybe this new app, Sunroom, is a take on OnlyFans.
I'm trying to look into the name for some clues, and when I think about Sunroom, it's that room in your house that's got a lot of windows, and it's very like a bit of a voyeuristic room, like people can look in at you. So I'm wondering if that's a part of the element.
Well, I feel like the app will be having women taking control, obviously, of making their own money in a safe way through these types of apps, because at the moment, I suppose there might not be as big a safety nets around the sort of material that's out there and who's looking at it.
Yeah, exactly right. And also, like, the term sun, I mean, we saw Sarah's Day using Sunny for her app's name. It's kind of like a bright, bubbly kind of name that feels inviting, but it's like yellow, which is Bumble.
Yeah,
it is. And just this week, Sunroom's Twitter and LinkedIn accounts shared that they were looking for a senior software engineer to join the team, and they will be rewarding successful referrals with a $1,000 bonus. The other clue that it is a spin-off of OnlyFans is the fact that there is a login page for creators. So they've termed people on the site as creators.
Hmm.
Also, another interesting point is that the other co-founder, her name is Ellie Day, and she is based in the US, and she was previously a senior product engineer for Trello. So it is really interesting. Think of these 3 powerhouse women that have gone, that have come together, all from huge other businesses. I feel like this is going to be such a big app, and it may overtake OnlyFans.
Well, I am following Michelle Battersby because I'm really interested to see how this evolves, and I'm excited that she's sharing it with her followers on Instagram.
I've got this really weird habit, like, it's so weird, and it's to time, like, 11 o'clock of the night, I like to have a cigarette on the toilet.
If I can't
have a cigarette on the toilet, but why, when I don't want the cigarette. I've formed a weird habit.
Is it when you're having a wee?
It could be either or.
Let's get into the reality wrap. And gosh, it is all going down on I'm a Celeb. Comedian Ash Williams decided to make himself the center of a love triangle with Abby Chatfield and Ali Simpson, whether the women liked it or not. Now, did you guys see Ali Simpson going into the jungle?
To be honest, I find it hilarious that she is their huge draw card because I had no idea who she was. Obviously, she is the sister of Cody Simpson, but I feel like it would have been a bigger raucous if he was in there, not his sister.
I don't think they could have got Cody Simpson, particularly when he is Miley Cyrus adjacent, as Sam Mangan would say.
Oh my God, the Masked Singer got him, you know. He's hardly that highbrow now.
Oh, that is true. Well, for those who don't know who Ali Simpson is, she actually has like 2 million followers on Instagram, and she is a singer in her own right. She's released an album when she was 15, and she has also had her own radio show called The Ali Simpson Show, where she interviewed celebrities like Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez. And she actually dated Conrad Seoul.
Well, maybe she is the biggest celebrity in here, because everyone's been just saying how, you know, these are literally D-grade celebrities that have been thrown in the jungle.
Well, people have been saying that, but I think Channel 10 have actually done a good job at casting. I mean, I've never heard I'm a Celeb getting talked about so much. I think one of the keys is that they brought in Abby Chatfield, who is literally like a headline maker. And I suppose what's happened is that Abby Chatfield's turned into a favourite on the show. Australia is actually falling in love with her, which is great. So, of course, once Australia loves you, then when someone does something shitty to you, that person becomes a villain. So it's quite interesting to see this played out, particularly after her portrayal on The Bachelor.
Now, we should probably get into the juicy details of what has actually unfolded. Now, on Tuesday night's episode, we saw Abby spend the night in Ash's sleeping bag. And then the next day, that is when the new contestant, Ali Simpson, arrived in the jungle.
Well, you could see it written all over Ash's face as soon as Ali walked in. It was this sudden regret that, oh no, there's another attractive girl that's caught my attention and I've already kind of locked myself down with Abby. And he actually pulled Grant Denyer and Colin from My Kitchen Rules aside and was having this private chat with them about how, oh no, like, you know, one day too late because he spent the night with Abby in her sleeping bag. And he said that Ali's more his type. And then Colin was actually saying, look, you better be careful because Abby's got a really big following. A lot of people like her. So this is not going to end well for you if you kind of make a move on Ali. And I think the best part of this conversation was when Julia Morris chimed in and she said, what I loved about the conversation was the unquestioned assumption that it is Ash's choice to make, as though the romantic success with Abby and Ali is just a foregone conclusion and they have no choice in the matter whatsoever. Now, these sentiments were echoed all over social media.
I mean, I don't quite understand the appeal of this guy. I mean, he's almost double Ali's age. Is she even going to look twice at this guy and he's having some big moral dilemma of picking the right one? It's like they're both probably not interested in you anymore.
Yeah, well, Ali is not interested in him. In fact, she has a boyfriend. So he just thinks that, oh, there's a young girl here and I think I'm the best looking guy. So of course she's going to be interested in me. This really pissed me off.
The thing I love about them having people like Abby Chatfield on the show is that you know you're going to get the extra depth on social media the next morning. So she went on Instagram and said, if you think your love life is bad, imagine consistently being second best on national TV.
Yeah, she also went on to say, yeah, super funny, super good. Sorry for trapping you with bad timing. Sorry you asked me to stay in your bed and then again the next night. Love feeling like charity work. Now, I felt really sorry for Abby because, as she pointed out, this is literally the third time she's kind of been deemed as second best on a reality TV show. Of course, we had with Matt Agnew and then Kieran from Bachelor in Paradise. And I just feel like the worst bit is that she didn't know these conversations were going on. And I mean, we all know Abby for her amazing feminist rants, but she actually said that she was too hurt to offer up a feminist rant about what happened in the episode. And she admitted that her self-esteem hasn't been good lately. And I know you all want me to be the self-love queen, but it's like all-time low. And I just was kind of a kick in the guts. And yeah,
I think she's just dodged a huge bullet with this Ash guy. I mean, one, I have never heard of him before.
Yeah, so what is his claim to fame?
He's a comedian.
Well, he just sounds like a bit of a shit guy. I mean, he's facing charges at the moment of recording nude images without consent, and he's facing court next month over these allegations.
Yeah, so not only has he allegedly taken screenshots of a woman during phone sex without her knowledge, but he's also facing court on Monday for an apprehended violence order matter with the same woman.
What's amusing is that no one really knew who he was before, but now he's on I'm a Celebrity. Those cases are going to be really highly covered by the media. Yeah.
I think the best part of this is the fact that Abby and Ali haven't let this little stupid love triangle made up bullshit get in the way of their friendship, and they've been very supportive of each other on Instagram.
Hello, my little chickens. Welcome back to another video.
Now let's get into the influencer wrap. And Kate, it has been a huge week for Sophie Kasia.
Yeah, I have been really enjoying following her week on social media. So it started with a family camping trip with her girlfriend, Maddie Garrick. And it was really nice because Sophie was posting photos of herself really embracing her natural body. She was talking about how she didn't have tan on, she didn't have makeup on, and Maddie was really helping her feel confident in herself. So that was really nice. And it looked like they had a great time on the camping trip. However, while she was away, there was a robbery in her house. A lot of her sentimental jewelry was stolen among hundreds of dollars worth of other things. And she caught the robbers on tape and she shared this on her Instagram story to try and identify them. And I thought this was pretty interesting. It reminded me of when Roxy Jasenko captured and shared the poo jogger.
Well, it reminded me of when Shani Grimmon's house got robbed, and it was purely because people knew that she was away. So I suppose that's some of the dangers that come with sharing your life on social media.
Yeah, and it was really creepy because this person staked them out like 8 times as they were packing the car. And then the guy like really brazenly pulled up in his car on camera and like just runs into the house and runs out. It's pretty scary. However, fortunately, it seems Sophie's week has gotten better because she posted a very cryptic photo of herself and Maddie, and they were like hugging in their bathers. And down the bottom in the right-hand corner, there was a ring emoji. Now, this has sparked engagement rumors.
But if her house was robbed, wouldn't they have taken the engagement ring? Surely you're not bringing that ring on the camping trip.
Well, Maddie doesn't live with Sophie, so it's possible it was at her own house. I mean, that's presuming that Maddie was the one that proposed.
But a lot of people think that maybe she's just doing this all for attention, because let's be honest, the only time I've really seen her in the headlines is due to her bad behavior during Melbourne's lockdown. So maybe she needs a good news story.
Well, there's a few theories that, as you say, it is in a bid to drum up engagement. So at the moment, Instagram is favoring people sending on, you know, Insta stories or photos. So I think that this sort of thing really would help someone's grow their following even further.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely keep an eye on this evolving story.
Now, I really wanted to include this one, probably because I couldn't go on my holiday. So I've been living a little bit vicariously through this trip. Jonathan Woolley.
Oh my God.
Look, I keep saying that. Jonathan Sauer.
Jonathan Grimmond.
you've starting wedding rumors.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'd love that.
Jonathan Sauer, an influencer, Madison Woolley, jetted off to the Hayman Islands last Tuesday. And it has been quite a funny trip. Now, I thought this post was kind of funny. Madison put up that her and Jonathan had just ordered room service and she was heading off to the shower. So could he please answer the door? Anyway, so apparently she's in the shower and she hears this commotion outside, people knocking on the door. They've got the security guard out there. Apparently Jonathan was so in such a deep state of sleep that he had completely blacked out, didn't hear the door. The people thought that he'd collapsed and needed to be resuscitated. They're trying to break down this door.
Maybe he was watching one of Madison's vlogs and just fell asleep.
Well, do you know what, though? Because he posted a few Instagram stories about it's sort of like this passive-aggressive thing where he's annoyed that he's having to wait for Madison to get ready. And I feel like we've all been there. We've all been that girlfriend that's made their boyfriend wait. Or the cousin, Sophie. Sophie used to make our little cousins wait for hours when we went overseas with them for her to get ready.
It's good practice for them when their girlfriends want to take a while to get ready.
Anyway, my point was that Jonathan's been posting this sort of content and it kind of makes me think, you know, there's boyfriends that manage to tune their girlfriends out. Reese will do it to me when he's playing PlayStation or something. I'll ask him something and he just tunes it out. Maybe he's so good at tuning things out that he's managed to tune out the room service.
He's probably exhausted from taking photos of himself and Madison all day.
That would be exhausting.
It is. That would be so draining.
Mm. Well, so if Jonathan's actually copped a bit of flack for this month-long holiday that he seems to be on, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. I thought this was pretty hilarious. He posted up a photo of himself shirtless on the beach, you know, his regular sort of content.
He's still working.
That's right. And he wrote in the caption, "So ready for our trip away to Hayman already." You know, as if it was like, oh, I just can't wait to get there.
It's such a drag that we're at Madison's family's villa.
Anyway, and then someone wrote underneath the comment, "Aren't you guys away right now?" And then all these laughing faces, to which he defended saying, "I'm still in Noosa."
Oh, because Noosa's not like a nice tropical dish. Well, on the topic of boyfriends of Instagram, you guys have some news about Sarah's Day's fiancé, Kurt Tills.
Yeah, well, I'm still trying to figure this one out. He's put up on Instagram that he has started this page called KJ Tills Adventures Official. Now, in the caption, it says that he is an adventure extraordinaire outdoor professor, whatever that is.
You think they'd have enough Instagram accounts to manage with the health code, Sunny, Sarah's Day, his own profile, to be adding this extra one?
I just have no idea what it's about. He has put up all these branded overalls, hats and stubbies with this KJ Adventures.
Oh no, is he selling his own brand of like adventure gear? Like a sort of BCF moment?
I don't know, because there was a photo of him and the guy, Jai, that works for the company, like doing his videography stuff. I actually think it might just be a fun space where he can post videos about all the outdoorsy activities he does. And I feel like it could but it could be quite clever, because think of, you know, like Sophie's boyfriend, Brandon, watches, what is that guy called?
Brody Moss.
Look, yeah, he watches him, and men love watching people on jet skis and doing outdoor shit.
Do that
shit
on your own account, I think it's a business.
I'm going to be cynical. I think that a lot of what Sarah and Kurt do usually is linked with money, which is no shame. Like, of course, lots of people are.
Sounds shameful.
Anyway, what I'm saying is, Amy, I think you're quite naive to be like, oh, no, it's just a little fun page that he's putting up. Like, put it on your own page. You've got that page to do
that. Okay, well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. I don't necessarily think the worst in everybody.
Can I preface? We are recording this on a Friday. So for if anything happens late developing in this, we'll be sure to sort of add a little future recording in.
Yeah. Well, just lastly, I love this story. TikTok has sparked a new makeup trend, and it's faking under eye bags. So teenagers are actually painting on dark circles under their eyes. And this is great news for me, because you guys always slam me and say I've got constant bags.
I've got a theory why this is being created.
Why?
Influencers are always trying to prove to us how much I'm doing my emails. I'm so hardworking. Maybe now these like bags are a badge of honor, as if they've done a lot of work.
Well, literally when I was working at Seven as a reporter, I feel like big bags under your eyes, as you said, were a badge of honor. People would walk in like looking like shit and just looking so tired, and as if, you know, that meant they were working harder than everyone.
What's the purpose? But like, is there a purpose to it? Like, do we actually know, or this has just sort of started happening?
No, they've just makeup TikTokers have just been doing it, and it's a new trend. And I suppose because teenagers,
so people actually want to look tired.
Yeah, so I think because teenagers generally don't have bags under their eyes.
This is the stupidest thing. But I mean, let's be honest, like, it's kind of good. Hopefully this will make people embrace their stretch marks and, you know.
But they're not embracing it because they're having to ham it up.
But it's like people putting freckles on. Like, freckles were seen as this, you know, not very nice thing. Like, we've all got freckles.
Oh, and see, that annoyed me. As someone with freckles, I was like, how dare you pretend to have them?
Yeah, but now someone with under eye bags, how dare you paint them on?
Yeah, but
earn
now,
them.
Yeah, but now it's seen as this beauty trend, freckles, which is good. It's shit if you have to paint them on. But I don't know. I kind of think
I'll find a video of it and post it in the Facebook community, because it's pretty funny.
Well, I think that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, could you please leave us a 5-star rating and subscribe?
Yeah, we would really love if you could leave us that rating, because a few people are confused and think this is our full-time job. It's actually not. We all work full-time. So we do put a lot of time and effort into this podcast, and we would really appreciate if you could leave us a review, because it really does help the show.
I feel like we're trying to make a few excuses for our crap editing at times. So apologies over that. But they've been hitting us up in the reviews about that. We're sorry. We know it's not great sometimes.
And we'd also love if you can share where you're listening to the podcast and our stories and spread the word, because that's how we get new listeners.
And please join us in our Facebook community. It is Outspoken, the podcast community. You can find us on Facebook. Amy will be sharing her creation of a cake. So,
yeah. I thought you were going to say the bags. It's just a photo of me with big bags under my eyes.
No, it's a cake you'll be sharing.